Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ashley, can I say something?
I think that a lot of the way that you think about relationships is because the relationship that you are now out of had toxic notes and had trust issues. My hope for you, honestly, is that you receive a relationship where you don't have to feel like, oh, I need to know if a bitch is talking to my man. Like, that's not what it should feel like, because I don't need to know that, because I know my man.
Period.
And okay. I think that is what you should.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine. With me, Kara Berry, our Housewives of Potomac recap. Join with me this week. You know her, you love her. It's Chai. Hey girl.
Yay.
fan favorite. The people's champ. You are the Muhammad Ali of Everyone's Business But Mine, much like Kara of live shows.
I'm doing that punch shake she was doing.
Oh my God. So actually, before we get into the episode, tell me like where you are with this season. Where are you with the girls? Starting with like, let's just do the Green-Eyed Bandits as a collective. How are you feeling about them?
So I never liked Giselle. Robin, I'm very disappointed in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so, it's embarrassing. Like we're seeing the hypocrisy to like, I'm literally watching the wheels turn. You're seeing the plans. Like, I hate it.
I am with you on that. How are you feeling about Candace this season?
I like Candace. I think Candace is funny. I've always enjoyed Candace from the time she came on the show. So I like her. Yeah. I'm happy that the people are starting to see like how funny she is.
Yeah, I was listening to, I think, Bitch Sesh, and I want to say Danielle said, you know, if you're going to be mean, you still have to be funnier than you are mean. And I think Candace has now found that balance.
That's my life motto. When Danielle said it, I was like, yes, I love that because I am very, very mean. But I'm like, I try to make it funny, you know?
They were like, she's right. That is me to a T. I hope I'm a little bit funnier than I am.
Like all you have to do is a little bit, you know, yeah. Just slightly
yeah,
more funny than mean. I think I can manage that.
It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy if you put your mind to it. How are you feeling about like Mia and Jacqueline and their relationship?
I'm embarrassed for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really feel like we're seeing when this episode when Jacqueline was like, how far are we going to take it? You know, when they had the one-on-one where they were talking, I was like, okay, like she's basically saying what we're all seeing, that like they had this plan to have this little fight. And like, maybe you're going to say that, ooh, did she sleep with Gordon? Do we have threesomes? Like, you know, the innuendo of it all. And then I feel like Mia was just like, oh, wait, you're making me look bad. I'm not going to take it this far.
Do you think that, I believe that Mia brought Jacqueline on the show with intentions of making her like kind of the redheaded stepchild. And I don't think Jacqueline was really prepared for that. But I wonder how much of what we see in the way Mia treats Jacqueline is what's happening in their relationship in real life. And now, like, that they've gotten around some people, it's like, ooh, maybe Jacqueline's seeing, like, oh, this is bad, you know?
Right. Or maybe just seeing that, like, okay, so you know how she brought her mom on the show to embarrass her. Mm-hmm. So I believe you that she probably did bring Jackie on the show to embarrass her too.
Yeah. I just wonder.
But have you seen people keep talking about Jacqueline's sister's YouTube channel? Have you seen anything on there?
Yeah. Shout out to Taria. She sent me a link a little while back and I was like, yo, listen, white people earmuffs right now. To me, she's got like Frankie energy, like Keisha Cole's mom energy.
And no, I have to watch that because that is my favorite energy.
Yeah, it's a black Tokyo Tony kind of energy. It's just there's like, I told Taria, I was like, I'm watching 30 seconds of this and I know if I were Mia, you're a dummy for fucking with somebody who has got a family member like this, because this woman does not give a fuck. She will go scorched earth. She will, you know, light a cigarette in your eye. Like, she does not care. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, it's a lot. And it's just like a lot of yelling and smoking indoors.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. See, I've like been wanting to watch it and then I keep forgetting. But after this episode, I was like, I need to know more about Jacqueline. And I'm trying to understand, were they ever truly, like, were these people that used to hang out all the time, or is it that she pulled a friend from her childhood?
Yeah. That's
what also, it's like, was Jacqueline in the strip clubs too?
Right. Did she have a ball gown on? What was happening?
at the high class strip where they wore ball gowns. Was Jacqueline there too? Maybe Jacqueline played the violin.
Maybe she did. Maybe the cello. Who knows?
But I love Jacqueline in that, like, I don't know, she's so pretty in a very like 90s black sitcom kind of way.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I could
see. You know what I mean? Like, it's a very like natural, like Cosby show pretty.
Yes.
But you don't really see, like, you don't see a girl come on TV with no tracks in her hair. Even white girls don't come on just natural hair like that.
Right. Yeah. She seems like she would be the lead in a Tyrese music video.
I see. Right.
Or like Tank, maybe Tank. But let's start with this episode. So we basically start off where we left off with this geriatric fight between Charisse and Karen. They're banging tables. They're screaming at each other. I don't give a fuck about you. Well, I don't give a fuck about you either. And Charisse calls Karen a fake ass phony bitch. So here's my issue. Robin, Giselle, and Charisse want to act like they don't understand why Karen doesn't like her. But to me, I feel like Karen's made it very clear. I just don't fuck with her. And I don't think they need to have a reason why.
Exactly. Like, why are we playing Sherlock Holmes on this? Also, it's like, I thought it was very much established. Like, we all saw Charisse call Karen out for cheating on Ray.
Mr. Blue Eyes. Mm-hmm.
We saw that. That's enough of a reason not to like someone. So I'm wondering, do Giselle and Robin just want her to bring it back up again? Because if that's the case, you could just bring it up.
Right, exactly. We don't need Sweaty over here to be like, you know, Eeyore. It just really irks me because I feel like Karen's been very clear and Robin and Giselle are like acting like this is something personal to them that they possibly don't understand, that can't possibly understand. And like, this is a relationship that needs to be forced for what? Like, if I say I don't fuck with that person, end of conversation. That's it. That's it for me.
And if it's all for the sake of bringing someone back on the show, Charisse, right. Nobody wants her here. She's not giving anything. Like,
yes.
Just looking sweaty as hell.
Right.
It makes me uncomfortable in a way that it's like, I'm a woman, right? I know menopause is coming for me too. I don't want to say these things about Charisse.
Right. But she's sweaty from the inside out. There's like an inner sweatiness that's emanating forth to like actual drops of sweat. And I don't get it. Because you're right. Like, Charisse is off the show for a reason. And that reason is not Karen.
Exactly. Like, what are we doing here? Like, she's been Every season she's made an attempt to come back. Like, nobody wants her here. She's not giving anything.
Right.
Like not even a look.
Not even a look. Well, which we'll get into in a second. The champagne room. So Karen says that she just feels like, you know, Charisse claimed, oh, I went to your mother's funeral. I was there in support of you. And so Karen popped off about that. But what Karen is trying to say in a confessional is that she didn't think that Charisse was being genuine. She went to the funeral, but she popped her big head into the limo and was like, she felt like whatever Charisse said to her was like a, oh, I need you to know that I was here. So she was feeling some type of way about that 5 years ago. And her Aunt Val told her, as long as Charisse doesn't bring it up on the show, just take it as good intentions. But what we didn't know is that 3 years ago, Charisse did bring it up on the show at Candace's first year anniversary. Which, by the way, did not have an open bar, which I think we need to always remember.
On TV. Oh, you make people buy drinks on TV.
Right. You can't even get, like, I'm in the food and beverage industry discount out of Chris. Like, they couldn't even.
I didn't even think about that.
You know? Like, dang. But we love Candace, okay? But that was some fuck shit, all right? So, yeah. So we see this footage where Charisse is like, you know, of all of our friends, I was the only one there that came to your mother's funeral, which is like, okay, you want a cookie?
Like, right.
If you say it like that, then all bets are off. Then it's like, oh, well, I know that your intentions weren't good. If you need credit for it like that, then fuck you.
I don't need to ever hear you bring up the fact that you came to my mother's even once.
No.
Right, like I feel like once you like you bring it up and you're trying to throw it in my face and stuff, and then being of all our friends, I am the only one that was there. Nobody likes you, Karen. Like, what are you doing?
Basically, what is your end game? So then we get to Charisse's. Is this her first confessional? It can't be.
No, it's the second one.
Her Kim Zolciak season one reunion look with the yellow satin top and this wig.
Fresh, she was looking casket sharp.
They got her fresh from the beauty supply wig. And I wasn't mad at the idea of it. It was the execution.
I mean, it was the 55-45 synthetic human blend of the hair that was really troubling.
I just feel like, okay, if she's the queen of Potomac, what? I mean, you used to live in DC. It's a chocolate city. Surely... I'm having questions about a lot of these women's hair choices, Giselle.
It makes zero sense to me because I'm like, okay, Wendy's hair laid all the time.
Yep. Candace.
Late. I don't know. The pink was in the confessional. No.
It was a good choice, but it still looked better than Charisse's wig, this fresh one.
Oh, we're going to agree to disagree. I feel like they were in the same.
Okay.
They both went down to Miss Heavenly's shop and bought it.
Oh my God. I should figure out where that is. Take a trip. Make my sister go with me.
Karen's wigs, amazing.
Karen has had a great, like, Karen's season one, two, maybe even three wigs were not great, but then she really turned it around. So I'm not.
That's how you take back you take feedback. That's how you do it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. So basically, Robin decides to try to call Karen out for lying, allegedly, and says, oh, you know, I thought you guys were in a good place, but obviously you're not. Girl, like, I just don't care. Giselle says that there's no possible way that Charisse could have been clout chasing about going to the funeral because it was 4 hours away. The cameras weren't there. So that's case in point that Charisse had good intentions. Okay, well, I still don't fuck with her, so like that's it. I just don't get this. And I would have like really gone off on Robin and Giselle if that were me personally. Leave me alone. So Karen calls out Charisse for being known around Potomac for talking shit about people, trying to bust up marriages by gossiping about them. And Charisse goes totally scorched earth by saying, oh, Karen, well, you've got people in your life that you don't speak to anymore, and they don't really have nice things to say about you. But do I talk about how you were in rehab and they got you out of rehab and all that stuff? What?
Okay. So do you believe that Karen went to rehab?
Okay. So I did see somebody tweet that Karen admitted to having a DUI. So possibly.
Karen had a DUI?
Yeah, I don't, that was just based on a single tweet I saw. So, and I don't even know who said it. So I don't know. I didn't confirm that.
But. Well, I can only see the way that Karen would end up in a rehab, court ordered, right? Like, she's just not from a generation where they like accept that they have issues. Like, I just don't see a world where.
Agreed.
Like, we know that Robin has brought it up about how like Karen gets drunk and just starts calling them to talk shit.
Mm-hmm.
How can I get on the rotation for that? I will answer Karen at any time.
Right? I picture it like, remember when Larsa stopped being, or rather, then the Kardashians started being friends with Larsa, and she did that interview where she said that the reason why is because Kanye would just call her at the middle of the night, like, leaving, and eventually she put him on Do Not Disturb, and he figured it out, and that's why they weren't friends anymore. That's what I'm like, I would never put Karen on Do Not Disturb. Like, if she hits my line between 9:30 and 7 in the morning, I'm answering it immediately.
Absolutely. Like, I want to know what she's, and you know that she gets to talking about her little boyfriends.
Yes. Absolutely. She's definitely talking about how horny she is, a lot of sex talk, and it's weird. But I'm going to listen. Oh, God. So Karen fully denies that she went to rehab, but Cherise says that she's got mutual friends, Karen and Potomac, that Karen was in rehab in Florida, that these friends flew down to Florida, busted her out of there, and then went partying afterwards. Okay. So then Karen says, you know what? Nobody's been to rehab. And since we're going to be doing this, I can't even go to Safeway because of you anymore. And Mia goes,
that took me out. Like, why are you going to Safeway?
Who goes to Safeway? And let's unpack that. What is the Safeway story? I need to tweet Andy and ask that question. At Andy, Kara from New York wants to know what the Safeway story is. Oh my God. So yeah, Karen calls Cherise dusty and dated, and frankly, so does the rest of America. So
right. No lies detected.
They start talking about like the rumors of Karen and this man, or whether or not she wants to date any man. Candace is like, I want no parts of it. But of course, she had all the parts of it earlier this season. So we got to see that flashback. And yeah, I mean, basically, I don't know. They were just like, it was a mess. It was a mess. At some point, I think Giselle goes, I don't feel like that shaman worked. Or Robin. Robin's like, did the shaman work? I don't think it worked. Ashley, of course, tries to like make it light and bright and be like, oh, you know, I actually think it did work. You know, resolution's not always pretty. Sometimes it gets a little bit gritty. Sometimes we have to go walk through the fire. And Giselle's like, you know what? I'm with you. I think that too. I'm rocking with you. You know, things were communicated. It was loud, but things were communicated. And I see a rainbow between you two, Giselle, or excuse me, Karen and Cherise. Ashley goes, I see it too. It's in the distance. Actually, I can't see it, but I know it's there. Not seeing it yet, but yes. So Candace switches the topic to Mia versus Jacqueline. And Jacqueline's like, you know, I think we just need to have a one-on-one conversation without y'all, which everybody agrees, because who wants to sit and have them talk at each other? Like, can I finish my taco, please? Without a fight. So Mia says in a confessional that at this point, she's really tired. She just wants to be on an adult girls trip. So we get 30 minutes later. The rest of them are in the hotel lobby. Candace is trying to teach people the choreo to Drive Back. And Mia and Jacqueline go to the room together. So Jacqueline says, okay, well, what went down was unacceptable. And Mia's like, well, what part? What are you talking about? So then Jacqueline says, well, the part about you saying that I don't have any friends, like, I understand that you're upset, but, you know, we had our little thing before we got on this trip, and I get that, but for you to take it to this level and make an accusation, like, I felt like you were insinuating that the married man that I was sleeping with was Gordon. And at this point, I'm like, Jacqueline, you're playing yourself right now. Like, you might want to talk about the not cheating parts. It seems like you did. And for you to just feel like I'm upset because you were insinuating it was Gordon. First of all, Mia didn't do that. So what's good? Like, I have to give Mia a little bit of credit, but she didn't say Gordon. Nobody was talking about Gordon. Thank God. So, I mean, I just don't understand, like, what the deal is. She's like, you know, I just think it's disgusting that you would say that. So Mia is like, okay, I see we're not having a good productive conversation here. Jacqueline, I'm trying to help you out and you're not taking it. So I'm going to have to go. So, you know, Jacqueline's just like, well, you're a liar. I've never slept with anybody. Did you believe her?
Of course not. But then that's why I was like, was she at the ball gown strip club too, working? Mm-hmm. Like, were they side by side sleeping with married men? Like, I need to know more about who Jacqueline is. Like, I have no context to know anything about the situation. Like, so I'm like, so we're gonna fight about it. I need you to, like, show us pictures, name names, like, make it more interesting for us.
Right. But did you see those tweets that Mia tweeted last week about, like, the ethics of cheating? Because I think she was trying to tell more of the story. But she basically was like, well, here's a question. Would you consider cheating if people are legally separated and somebody starts a relationship with somebody else? Would you consider that cheating? And I personally would not, because you've made the formal steps to break up with them.
Right.
So if that's all of Mia's defense against Jacqueline, that I'm kind of on Jacqueline's side, that's not that deep to me personally.
At all. And
it shouldn't be that deep to Mia. Miss, I fucked Gordon while he was married on a beach in front of everybody.
Right. And at that point, you were his favorite stripper for years.
Right.
While he was married. So what are you even talking about? Mia's so, everything Mia says, like, it stresses me out. Like, it makes me dizzy. None of it makes sense.
Because it's like, okay, you are fine with having slept with a married man, but you want to call your friend out for it like it's disgusting or morally reprehensible. It can't be both. If she's in the gutter, then so are you. So what are we doing? It doesn't make sense to me. Mia's got to find something else. I think she and Gordon maybe need to go on, like, a celebrity marriage boot camp. I think that might be a better fit for them at this point.
Right. I feel like that they're giving more VH1.
Yeah. yeah, she really irks me. So the next morning, Ashley's planning some yoga thing. Nobody really wants to do it, but can we just talk about Candace's beach outfit? Because I loved it.
The black. Loved it. That bathing suit. She's so tiny.
Tiny. And her ass is like a peach.
And just everything is just so, like, tight and just cute.
Yeah, she's so cute, and the bathing suit was so cute, and the big hat and the Saint Laurent beach bag, like, yes, this is what I want to see. But
I loved it.
So me and Jacqueline go to yoga, but they're not talking to each other still at this point. And Mia says in a confessional, you know, Jacqueline and I's fights are usually pretty surface, but when you involve other people, things change. And I'm like, yeah, that's, you should have known that when you brought her on the show, Mia.
Right. Mia.
You brand new information, girl. So then Jacqueline says, you know, when Mia was younger, she was a lot more down to earth, but now she just wants to be this boss and talk about how many businesses she has. And, like, it's just, I can't trust her at this point. So,
and we've all seen that with our own eyes, so.
1,000%. And now Mia's going to have to sit at that reunion stage and explain, how many businesses do you have at this point, Mia? Any? Because he's like, don't. How did that work out?
I just keep thinking about her coming on Instagram to tell us that she didn't know where her next meal was coming from.
Right.
No, knowing that we're about to watch a season where she calls Wendy a broke bitch.
Right.
And just making fun of Wendy's finances. Like,
right. Girl.
She knew that was to come.
Exactly. Like, you it's, yeah, no surprise. It's not like you did this right before the season started filming. You knew everything that happened, and you still said that shit. Wow.
Last week they just told us they got kicked out of their house, the house that they were renting that they put all this of their own money into, which is still insane to me.
Wait, did they?
Yeah.
Completely.
Oh yeah, they're back in the penthouse.
Oh my God. Girl.
It's so embarrassing. That's what I'm saying. It's like, girl, like, if you're putting on the facade, you have to keep the facade up. This is not other people coming online to tell us. This is her. Like, she wrote a whole message about, you know, sometimes life will humble you or something.
Man, it sure the fuck did, didn't it? It sure did. Wow. Okay, girl. Girl. Okay. So, okay. That's so funny. No, it's not. It poor baby. I feel for the babies, but like, girl, come on. Okay, so then Karen and Candace start talking strategy. Like, how can we turn this trip around so that we can actually have fun? So Candace is like, how's your hand, by the way? I heard there was a lot of table banging last night. And Karen's like, I wasn't banging any tables. I saw the tables being banged. I did not. I don't know what you're talking about. So so then, you know, Karen's like, I just feel like in that time last night, Charisse actually proved why I can't be a friend with her and why I can't trust her. So, but on the other hand, like, we have friends in the same circle, so I can be cordial to her, which I think is all that we need to say. We should have just left it at that. But of course, green eyes, we could not. So Ashley makes this big to-do about the ladies, like, you know, I don't know. I don't want to talk about this yoga thing, honestly, because Mia said the grossest thing, which is that she's just feeling a lot of the movement and the gyrating, and because Daddy G won't let me use my vibe.
The Daddy G of it all is just curl.
The fact that she used Daddy G and vibrator in the same sentence, never.
Please, Mia, never. Seek help.
Never again. And like, I can't... Gordon is so nasty to me. You know what I mean? He's just so slimy.
I keep thinking about when he was drunk at that trip they took. Ugh. If I was me, I would have never come back on TV.
When he was using his pool stick as a penis?
And like, it was all so cringy and embarrassing. Like,
oh my God. I'm mad at you for reminding me of that.
Every time I see him, that's all I can think about.
And now I'm gonna be cursed with it too. You just did me like the ring. You brought it up, and now it's my turn. So all the ladies join up after yoga, and Charisse is still like huffing and puffing.
Oh yeah, I don't like Karen. You know, whatever. I hope I don't end up in a prison in Mexico because of it.
Girl, you're not putting your hands on anybody. Okay.
Shut up.
Shut up. So then the ladies go to the cenote, and on the way Karen's like, what happened to your veil, the bridal veil that I got you that said bride-to-be? What happened to that, even though you told me? What happened to it, Robin? And so Robin's like, you know what happened, I it went away, it blew away. So Karen's like, okay, so did you show it to Juan before it blew away in the wind? What did he think? Did he set a date for you in that moment at all? Anything? And so Rob says that, yeah, they do in fact have a date. She's not telling them. Nobody's coming. Nobody's invited. So Karen goes, well, how am I going to send you a gift? Rob is like, I don't need any gifts, just love and well wishes, you know, for the future. So in a confessional, Karen goes, shut up. You just picked out a wedding date, but you don't know, you don't want us to know anything about it. Keep it to yourself. Okay, girl. Okay. I will say that, like, in the interest of fairness, it is almost as petty that Karen keeps talking about this wedding not happening, but it's funny. It's funny to me. That's the hypocrisy of me.
I just want the women to like stop asking. Every time Robin starts talking about the wedding, it makes me so uncomfortable. Exactly, but it's the way she's lying. I'm just like, girl, because even at the table, when she said, you know, I think I don't even want to wear these. And you see, I think it's Candace. Candace says, oh dear. And Giselle's head goes down.
Giselle couldn't even make eye contact. Like, it's getting weird. It's getting
weird. That's how I feel. Like, it makes me embarrassed. Like, I'm so embarrassed for her. I'm like, just stop.
Yeah, it's sad. It's, yeah, it is sad to have to watch somebody lie in real time. You know, it is. It is.
So, especially because it's like, you like the marriage for Robin is such a, like, it's the only place where Robin to me is, she's beautiful, she's funny, she's cool. I genuinely used to really enjoy Robin. Mm-hmm. Right, like I was never one of those people, like I like a really chill woman on TV.
Me too.
You know because it's like I wish I was like a Larsa, you know, very like never soft-spoken, but unfortunately I'm like a Gertie, you know. I love a Robin, a lazy, like a slow paced, chill woman. I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
But the marriage thing just makes her look so lame. Cause it's like, just say, if it's that you don't want to marry this man, just say that.
Right. It just feels like we're not getting the truth. And like, I don't think anybody really cares about this wedding, but it's just the fact that you're like, oh, like being so elusive about it, it makes you sound sketchy.
And then it's like, okay, so when you guys set that date talking about 40 days away, right? She right. knew good and damn well they were not going to get married in 40 days.
We all did.
So why did you do that?
Why would you do that?
I don't it's what I'm just not understanding. Like, why have your kids start trying on suit, getting measured for custom suits, knowing good and damn well that this wedding is not happening?
Right. You're buying new Jordans for them every other week because they're growing a half an inch. And you really think these suits are going to, like, how is the measuring of the suits the most first thing on the docket? What are you talking about? Girl, come on. Find a venue. What do you mean? So, okay. I was really, like, cracking up. They can't play this fake White Lotus music. Everybody goes in the water except for Charisse, of course. You know, everybody's getting bit up by mosquitoes. And the reason why I love this show is the little things that they keep in there, because eventually they go to lunch and they're going down the line because it's like a, you know, buffet style. Karen tells the people behind the counter, I'll just have the beef fajitas, not the chicken, because that's a dirty bird. I'm still not doing the dirty bird. Like, they don't know what the dirty bird is, girl. And then I don't know if you heard this, when Ashley sat down, she's like, oh, I'm going to sit in the sun because, you know, that's the only D I'm getting these days.
I didn't even hear that part.
Yeah. That was a good one. So Ashley asked a very stupid question of, oh, did the shaman and the cenote hail everything? Knowing damn well that it didn't. And you got a beef of your own with Candace sitting right across from you, so you know it isn't. So Karen decides to ask Candace, how are you and Ashley doing? So, you know, Karen says, I'm just asking because y'all's latest fight happened or started at my live show. And so, Ashley, I'm just wondering if you regret bringing Deborah the Grouch there to confront Candace. So she's like, Ashley's like, you know, I just came from a place of, you know, if I wanted to know, if there were rumors happening about me, then I would want to know and I would want to meet that person. And so what do you think about that?
Come on.
Girl.
First off, the Deborah, I'm so mad at Ashley for that. Mm-hmm. So mad at Ashley for that. First off, it was like, the show is like, you know, we're going to try to give you all the isms we can get, right? Like mm-hmm. lots of classism, season 1/colorism. Then they introduced Deborah so they can give you like good old fashioned texturism. Cause you know, when Deborah looks in the mirror, she thinks she looks like April Jones. Because like, she just kept flipping that hair back and forth. Like, beautiful hair does not equate to a beautiful girl. Calm down.
Yep.
And then because she did all this lying on TV, I've been catching strays ever since. Okay, right. Like everyone keeps talking about the big eyebrow girls. Right. And you know, I have a very thick brow, so I'm catching strays because of Deborah.
What do you say fuck me for? No, I'm with you. Like, I just thought,
like, I keep seeing posts and people are like, and those thick ass eyebrows, and I'm like, damn, let's not too much on the eyebrows, okay? The eyebrows are not the issue,
right? that's so funny. So I saw a TikTok that was like, you know what, Deborah's got to beat Ashton's ass, because you know what, why did you bring me on TV to do all this? And now I look goofy. Everybody's calling me a Muppet, everything but a Muppet of God. And now I'm being embarrassed and being called a liar. Like, you got to put hands on her at this point. That's not cool. That's not cool. And this Ashley, like, I only have good intentions. Bullshit. Bullshit. Because we saw in that flashback where she's like, oh, the pendulum swinging the other way. You don't like that, huh? Okay. But you just have pure intentions.
But I love the way that Candace handled it, right? Like, we all know she's lying, obviously, but I like that Candace took it to a place of like, you know, I think your past trauma in your relationship is, you know what I mean? I love the way she handled that. Because it was like, if we're going to do fake concern, I'm going to give you a read in my fake concern.
Girl, I'm telling, I thought that was the read of probably a couple years that I've heard a long time, because it is so good. She says, you know, I think a lot of the way that you feel about relationships is because of the relationships that you're out of now, and mm-hmm. it has toxic notes and trust issues. So my hope for you, Ashley, honestly, is that you receive a relationship where you don't have to feel like, I need to know a bitch is talking about my man. That's not what it should feel like. And, you know, I don't need to do that because I know my man. And Wendy chimes in and goes, period. Wendy's good for a my man moment. She really is.
Yep.
So then Ashley's like, well, yeah, I will admit that there have been tough times in my marriage. Like, people on the production of the job that I have, writing sworn affidavits about my husband touching people's butts, or him slithering off to a hotel room with some lady just because he was too drunk. Please. In Australia, there's no such thing as too drunk with Australian men, okay? They all know what. I'll tell you that right now. Not possible. So yeah, I mean, why Ashley would even do this is beyond me. Like, I don't really, she's just messy.
It sucks because, like, even from the night before, whenever you see Ashley and her together, like, Ashley, Candace, and Wendy, like, they have fun together. Like, yeah. Watching them dance, I was really enjoying that. You know, like,
really,
yeah, Candace was singing her song, and, like, Wendy and Ashley were doing backup.
Yeah. Like, they have it. And Wendy said, like, I'm with you guys. Y'all are great together. I just think there's so much hurt from what happened in the past that y'all aren't willing to let it go. And you really need to move forward. I'm a bitch who has a difficult time moving forward. If you have crossed me, kind of it for me. but, you know, I appreciate Wendy saying that. Certainly. If I were Candace, it wouldn't be me. But I appreciate
it. I'm hopeful, though. And I honestly feel like, just from the interviews they've been doing outside of the show,
mm-hmm.
I think that, like, Wendy can be a bridge here.
Yeah.
That this might be solved. I really do think they might be able to let it go, because I know in real time, Ashley has been saying very positive things about Wendy.
Mm.
Right. So I feel like there's a real friendship there growing, and she's been talking a lot about how Wendy's been treated unfairly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Right. So there's, like, a real friendship building there. I see right. it. And, like, I do think that with Candace has really been her. It's Giselle in the interviews. Right. Like, I haven't mm-hmm. heard her say too much about Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
So I think next season, and if Ashley could just be smart, like, just let it go. Let it go. And let's please be friends with Candace for the sake of the show.
Right. Yeah, and Candace is just adopting a policy of, if you fuck with me, I'm just going to talk about your forehead again, and I'll keep it pushing, you know? But I think we can break the chain from that. I do. I agree with you. And I am hopeful, because that would really be the dream team for me. And we have to say, like, the best moment people say that Wendy's like not really a factor or whatever, but the best moments have come because of Wendy. Like when they were slithering out of that studio after hanging out for a year, like that's one of the best moments of Housewives history. I loved it.
So I think it's so weird that people are like, Wendy's too serious, Wendy's not fun. Wendy, it makes no sense to me because I'm like, it's just because she's always like on the defensive, so she's forced right. into these situations, but the girl gives fun to me, right? Like even like when you're seeing her and Ashley, like their little side conversations are cute. When Ashley was asking her how many tattoos she had and she's like, I have six, like
mm-hmm. yeah, there's something in there. Yeah, I wish that people would ease up on Wendy and just allow her to be fun, because I think right. she came out kind of like on the defensive and kind of like, you know, I am a businesswoman, I've got my 17 degrees, this is who I am, I'm actually a boss bitch who actually has jobs, plural, and people don't take them away from me, okay? And so yeah, and then I think like after that, like she's just been so on the defensive since then that yeah, we haven't really gotten to see full bloom Wendy, and I'm ready for it. And I think you're right. If Candace and Ashley and Wendy can form a dream team, I think we got something real good here.
For mm-hmm. sure.
You do. Especially against
Robbie. Taking it straight to prayer hands. Mary Cosby, where are you at?
I mean, we have to say, quiet as cabs, that every person that Mary put Jesus up against has fallen. Every single one of them. You can say and you got to check the records. That's all I'm saying. Right. She's 3-0. So, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, so then, yeah, Ashley says, she admits to Candace, you know, maybe I'm coming for you because I harbor a little bit of resentment from the past and you being insensitive towards difficult times in my life. And so we see the flashback where Candace is talking to Giselle a few seasons mm-hmm. ago, and they're talking about Monique's rainbow baby party and how she had everybody come up and speak if they wanted to, and Ashley talked about her miscarriage, and Candace is basically like, she was fronting, getting in that microphone, faking the funk. And so Ashley tells Candace, you know, I just would have thought that at this point, now that you're going through your own journey, that you would have come to me and said, oh, I'm so sorry for what I did to you. And Giselle does this thing that irks the shit out of me. She'll play peanut gallery and be like, yeah, you're right. She's right about that. Shut up.
Right. She was like, that's fair.
No, it's not. You're not fair.
Right.
I hate when she does that. I really, really do. I also don't know. Do you think that's fair?
So the missing context in that is that like the reason why like Candace felt that way about her bringing up the miscarriage is because prior to that, she said Monique had a miscarriage because she was drinking.
Right.
Right. And now she's at Monique's prayer at the at Monique's rainbow baby party, right? And is being like simple, wanting sympathy on her miscarriage, right? Not saying that Candace was right, but it was the tone at the time was just like, girl, Ashley, like not after all you just did to Monique with her miscarriage.
Correct. And let the record reflect that that was the party that Michael groped a production member at. So, you know, remember,
right.
Remember they were also like, Michael went away for a long time and we didn't know where he went.
And I remember Candace making the jokes about like your wife was crying and you were grabbing ass.
Right.
Exactly. So like, where was Michael to console Ashley while she was crying about right. their miscarriage?
Right. Oh my God. So yeah, they start talking about moving forward. But speaking of moving forward, Charisse is not ready to do that. So we see her at the bar with Ashley. Ashley's playing two sides of the fence again. She's like, you know, Charisse, I was actually really proud of you for sticking up to Karen. So Charisse says in a confessional, she's always personally felt like Karen doesn't know how to be a genuine friend to everybody, but she was hoping that she could help her from that, but she was wrong. Okay. Karen didn't want your help though. So there you go. That's that on that.
Like, so, I don't know for Charisse, like, what does she feel like this sounds like, right? Like, it just sounds like you're begging for someone's friendship who has said they don't want your friendship. Like, I don't understand what the argument is here. Like, I'm allowed to say I don't want to be your friend. Like, what are we doing?
Exactly. And then she really fucked up by saying that all Karen did with regard to her parents' passing was send her a text message that said, sorry for your loss. And that's it. So if anybody wants to go to official Karen Huger Instagram to see her pinned tweet, or she sent a screenshot of that, it's available. But if not, I'll just tell you what Karen said. So she says, Charisse, my family and I want to extend our condolences on the passing of your father. Know that God is in charge and he is at rest. If there's anything I can do, please let me know. When time permits, I would like to address where flowers are being received. If there's a charity you would like us to donate in memory of, please advise. Again, both you and your family are in my thoughts or prayers. Love, Karen. And then Charisse responded, thank you, Karen. Your kindness and thoughtful words mean a lot during this difficult time. So Charisse actually was repeating what she said to Karen. Yeah. So that's that on that. Yeah. I mean, why would she? The receipts are right there. Why would you even say that? Because you know that Charisse probably had to look back and was like, oh, yeah, that's all she said. But you know that's not what she said, girl. So you played yourself on that one.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Once again, embarrassing, Charisse.
Man, aren't you? Isn't that enough? And every time I see her sweet daughter on TikTok, I'm just like, her daughter looks just like her, by the way. Just like her.
What is her daughter doing on TikTok? I've never seen this.
She is, a lot of the TikToks that I see involve Charisse and like voiceovers about like, oh, my mom is fabulous. And
a lie. So she's on there lying. Okay. Yeah.
like mother, like daughter. But I'm checking. I really actually, do you follow Raven, Karen's daughter?
Oh, I love Raven. You understand, like Raven and Sonia Morgan's daughter, that is like
yeah,
I love it.
Those are my girls because they're living their best life and not minding anybody's business. And actually, I want to just segue for a second because I guess Ramona did a some sort of business Zoom call. I'm not really sure what it was, but it was like talking to people in business. And y'all, the TikTok clips are all over because people were screen recording. At one point, of course, Ramona can't figure out the tech of it, right? So Avery's there. Avery's trying to figure out the tech. She can't figure it out. At one point, she and Avery get into a fight or yelling at each other. And you can see the people up at the top just laughing or trying not to laugh at Ramona and everything that's going on. It's so embarrassing. So check that out as soon as you guys finish with this. But yeah, I love Raven. I want her on Summer House because she was at the Summer House a couple seasons ago.
Okay, that would make so much sense. Right? I would love that.
Yes.
But she's very young. I don't think
she's young.
She's not 21 yet, right?
I think she might. No, she's like out of college. I think she's like,
oh, is she?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought she was like 20 or something. Yeah, that'd be perfect. Because I love seeing her on her little boats with her little white boyfriends.
Right. Like, I feel like she and Paige would get along.
In a very tiny bikini. I love it.
Yeah, she's like,
that's one of my biggest regrets about my youth is that I didn't wear one of those super, super tiny bikinis when I had the chance.
Yeah, yes. Raven is like an aesthetic girl. She is like very like, I'm gonna give you a picture of me holding like flowers in a grocery store somewhere, and like she just gives. I love it. She's like my own daughter. I love what she's doing. I don't really.
I watch her with pride.
Yeah.
It's also the same way I feel about Malia.
Oh yes, yes.
The same vibe. Like I'm just so proud of them.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah, somebody said the other day, like, if Malia was not an Obama, she would be that girl so hard on social media.
It's like the Obama name is actually holding her back.
Yeah. From her full potential as a bad bitch. Yeah. Too bad her dad was president. Now she really can't. Poor thing, the most popular president in history. Must be terrible for her. But anyway, so the ladies go to dinner, and both Ashley and Wendy try to pin down Robin on when or if she's getting married. So Robin's like, well, I don't really want to have like a wedding, you know, anymore, like a traditional wedding. Look over there. like you said, Giselle's looking down. Candace is like, oh God, no, not this again, please.
The oh dear from Candace.
this killed me. So Robin says, you know, when that tailor came over to fit the boys for their suits, we didn't have a date, but we realized that we're going to Jamaica for, I guess, Juan's brother, her brother-in-law's wedding. And so they have decided that the day after this wedding, just the four of them are going to go down and get secretly married.
Like, girl, you can't get married at other people's weddings. Like, who raised you, Robin?
Sheena and Brock, what are we doing here? Remember they tried to pull that shit last season?
Yep.
Oh my God. Like, yeah, to me, it's just, I don't, to me, it's just tacky. Like, I'm trying to figure if I was the bride or if I was in the situation, I wouldn't be upset. I would almost be embarrassed that you like.
Yeah, so like my cousin was trying to get engaged during my wedding.
Oh no.
My brother was having like a full scale, like he was like, yo, this is insane. You cannot do this. For me, it was more just like cringy. You know, I'm just like now I'm associated with this. You know, like the only thing I was saying, I was just like, come on, you should know better.
Yeah. And I'm also like, I'm about to say something embarrassing, which is that I come from a history of 19 kids and counting watching, which like once those kids started getting married, it was like somebody would get proposed at the reception and it was a big deal. And then somebody else was proposing at some other person's moment. And to me, like the whole thing is just like very cringy and tacky.
Very.
So, okay.
And I don't even like when guys, this is like not even related, but I want it to be a message. When guys propose to girls at their graduations, don't do that.
Don't do it. Please don't do it. I never at a graduation, at any sort of life moment for her, don't take it away by putting a ring on it. Don't do that. Please let her have her day.
Exactly.
Because I'm not trying to get married in some engaged in some graduation gown, the most shapeless piece of fabric that ever existed. No, thank you.
Right.
Come on. So they get the people's reaction to it. Of course, Karen's like, it's been 7 years. You don't want your mama and your daddy there? Candace is just grateful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all the marital saints and angels. You know, I wish I had some rice. Can I throw peanuts right now? No. Okay. Ashley thinks it's a great thing. She's like, you know, it's good. It's efficient. But what I don't support is why can nobody else be there? So then we get back to Karen and goes, why, Robin? Why don't you want to get married? Because your ass ain't getting married. Oh, Lord. So for whatever reason, Giselle decides to just ruin the mood again by saying, you know, what happened between Charisse and Karen, it just didn't sit well with me. Okay, well, okay. Like, who cares? Why is this your thing? This is not your thing. I don't care. I don't care that you're personally invested in me being friends with her. That's your problem.
Right.
That's the responsibility that you put on yourself, girl. Not my issue. Then she's like, I feel like Charisse's character was completely assassinated, and I don't know her to be a family destroyer. Okay. Again, what do you want us to do with that? Do you know Karen to be? Okay. So you like her. Great. Not everybody else has to. And I don't think her character was assassinated, mostly because I don't think anybody's checking for Charisse.
And that's the thing. I was like, nobody who was listening to that fight heard it or cared.
No, not a single care. So she's like, you know, I just know Charisse to be honest and amazing. And
this is when I was like, okay, so is she paying them?
Right. Let me check your Zelle and see what's going on here.
Like when she said amazing, I was like, okay, like you are laying it on very thin.
Right. So then Giselle says the corniest, goofiest thing I've ever heard in my life. This 50-year-old woman says, clearly, if there's going to be a Queen of Potomac, this is Charisse. What? Are we really having this conversation? How did we even get here? Where did we go from you assassinated Charisse's character to she's the Queen of Potomac? Okay, you can be, but you don't have to be the Queen of Potomac on the show. Also, there's no queens here. What are we talking
about? Like, it's so embarrassing and cringe, especially because it's like, okay, the Grand Dame, like, none of us think that Karen is the Queen of Potomac.
Nobody.
Right, because we know that like royalty doesn't exist here. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. You don't need to set the record straight.
Right. So here's my other thing. Do you remember like in old episodes, the Cindy Barshop season of New York, where Sonia tells her, oh God, was it Ramona? Like, you need to bow down to Ramona because there's a hierarchy here. And Cindy's just looking at her with her big teeth like, what are you talking about? It's giving the same thing. Like, nobody's talking about rankings. How did we even get here? So Karen just looks at Giselle and says, because this involves me, stop. Enough is enough. It's deaded. But then Giselle really starts to get annoyed. It's like, well, what? I can't share my thoughts? And Karen's like, you can. I receive it, but it's over. So then Giselle says, well, you know, I'm allowed to have an opinion because I was there and, you know, when you guys were fighting and you're not allowed to shut down the conversation. She absolutely is because you're talking about her. So she doesn't want to
stop clicking.
I'm not literally not forced to have a conversation with you. That's not how this works at all. So then goofy ass Robin takes the wheel. It's like, Karen, in this group, we're all held to the fire for the things that we do. What has Giselle been held to the fire for? Do you have an answer? What is Robin? What are they talking about? Pull up some examples here. So then Karen says, well, I'm done with this. And Robin says, well, we're not done. And Karen goes, well, that's fine, but you're going to be talking to yourself. So Robin tries to say, well, you know, the way you acted last night was, you know, it wasn't good. And, you know, that's not how you purport yourself to be. The behavior was different from how you present yourself to be. And you tried to flip a sincere gesture of trying to support, of Charisse trying to support you in your time of grief. I just don't know what they're mad about. You're mad because Charisse doesn't want to talk to her. She doesn't want to be friends, or Karen doesn't want to be friends with Charisse. Now you're mad because Karen's not recognizing Charisse as the Queen of Potomac. You're also mad at her because Karen acted out of character from what you're used to or how Karen presents herself. Can you explain to me? Because I'm not getting it.
I absolutely cannot. I cannot.
I do not get it. And then she goes on to say that Karen knows how to deflect from the real issues and conversations, and she puts shields up like, you don't want to talk about things like your husband and your marriage and your kids. Like, none of y'all do. That's like the first rule of Fight Club. Keep my kids out of your mouth. Keep my husband out of your mouth. Like, this is not abnormal.
Like, maybe nobody wants that. What are you talking about? Right. I was so embarrassed for her.
Like, what are you talking about? I don't understand. Yeah, she has a boundary about not talking shit about Ray. Wow. Oh no. Like, all of you do. You would too if you had a husband. So there you go. So then Charisse goes on to say she lost three brothers and her mother before she joined this group. So now we're like kind of breaking the fourth wall. And so then she lost her father and I think her sister during COVID or, you know, 2020. So I know what grief is. And, you know, I would never deny somebody who's being kind to me in my moment of grief, meaning, Karen, you're shutting me down, but I was there again for you in your, when your mother passed. But then she goes, I worked my ass off to get this group together in the first place. And again, what does what you just said have to do with that?
Exactly.
Well, I'm not seeing the connections at all. So Karen goes, yeah, you did a great job of getting the girls together. But to be clear, I wasn't on your list. And Charisse goes, yeah, I didn't know you. And Karen goes, okay, well, there we go. Like, we're only friends because of the show. Giselle was acting like there was some great history between the three of them all these years ago, but that didn't really exist. They were friends on the show. Charisse talked out of the side of her mouth about Mr. Blue Eyes, and that was it. So we're really talking about maybe a year and a half of a friendship that Giselle's dusting up her wig over. For what?
Hey.
And why is Robin even in this? I don't know. Crazy. So Charisse goes, yeah, you should thank God for me, Karen, because you sat at my table and somebody thought you were my friend and recommended you. That's how you got here.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah. I was like, say more.
I would like to know more about that, but it also doesn't really change anything for me.
Right.
It doesn't make it. And also, what Charisse was forming is not the show that we have today. This was a show about philanthropy and all your charitable works, but that's not what the show is.
It was literally about Jack and Jill.
Right.
So
your show didn't even pop off, really, technically. So what does it matter? So then Robin, like, you know, I feel like Karen doesn't want to act like Charisse is the one who got everybody together. And, you know, when Charisse is really the true philanthropist and the true socialite of Potomac, who gives a fuck? So then Robin says, well, I call like I see it. And, you know, you don't want Charisse around. And one day people are going to see you for who you are. We already see it because, this is me. Sorry. We already see it because Karen doesn't like Charisse. Like,
right.
I don't feel like Karen's faking the funk here. I think she's been extremely clear this entire time. Okay.
Like, they keep telling her to admit something that she is admitting. And I'm like, what? She's saying she doesn't like her.
Right.
It's being said.
It's been said. And it will continue to be said until the end of the time. So Robin goes on to say, you know, one day people are going to see you for who you really are, which is a bullshitter. You dance around the truth and you try to fool people. One day it's going to be up for you. Okay, Cardi. So then she's like, you know, you just don't want Charisse around. You're just trying to find a reason to be mean. Yeah. But only because you forced her to. Like, she would have been perfectly fine ignoring Charisse, but y'all keep trying to make it a thing. So yeah, maybe she's going to be a little bit of an asshole now. That's on y'all. That's on y'all.
You did this.
Yeah. Like, this is not a bombshell that Karen does not want Charisse around. Everybody knows it. Very clear. So then in a confessional, Robin says, Charisse is a human being, and whatever problem Karen has, she's had plenty of opportunities to address it. But why? Maybe we don't want to, because she doesn't care. So.
This is finally like, okay, well, you can go ahead because I think the next thing was
if it's clear that she has not tried in the past however many years to be friends with Charisse, then leave it be. That's all you need to know. Like, she doesn't care. That's why she hasn't said anything. You guys keep forcing this into a thing.
They're also arguing with themselves.
Right. Right. So I showed you this clip of Karen. Did you watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think this is a YouTube clip that Karen's like doing a get ready with me video, but she's talking about the dynamics between the women and why she thinks Giselle and Robin might be doing this. And she basically said, what did she say about Robin? That like, she's probably mad because I care.
Because she keeps pressing her about her fake marriage.
Yes, yes. Because I keep asking her about Juan. And I think basically she was saying that the girls are, Karen and Giselle, Robin and, no, what am I, where am I? Robin and Giselle keep going after Karen because of stuff that she said in the past. Like, this is a concerted effort to go after her about this Charisse thing, basically, which she was completely, completely right. So Karen says in a confessional about Robin, you sound stupid. Shut up. I'm not going to give you all the response that you want just because I just, you know, whatever. Like, I'm a smart woman. I lean back. I wanted to see where Charisse's loyalties lied, and I respect that. I don't believe half the shit they're saying. They don't believe it either. Like, y'all are scared of Charisse because she's got some shit on you too. So then Karen tells Robin, okay, that's your opinion. I receive what you're saying, but it's wrong. And then Robin mumbles about how, you know, it's just the same old bullshit song and dance with Karen. Robin keeps trying to make it seem like there's a Karen that we don't see behind the camera that she has just been like suffering through. Like maybe there's some sort of diva behavior, but then she gets on camera and she's like a totally different person and now everybody's gonna see the truth. I don't think that's the case. I just don't.
But every thing that they bring up, we are seeing it. And that's the thing, is that they think that the audience is not seeing through Karen's delusions. We see it. We like them. We think it's funny. We're enjoying it. Like, I don't know what's not clicking. Like, we don't think that she's the actual Grand Dame of Potomac. We know that that's not a real thing.
Right. Exactly. Like, we're loving the camp aspect of it. We're not like really rocking with it. Like, I love Karen, but I also know, like, I don't even think she's delusional. I just think she's like leaning into this character of like the Grand Dame because she knows it works and it does.
But we see that it's a character. I don't know what aspect that they think that like we aren't seeing, right? They're like the things that they say about their marriage, like, I don't think that there's anyone who looks at them and there's like, that marriage is amazing and solid. Like we just don't care.
We all know. It's just so stupid. Yeah. Like, Karen has been transparent about this. And I just find it hard to believe that there is some Karen that we're not seeing. I personally just don't believe it. So Candace chimes in and is like, oh no. So then Robin says, this really pissed me off. She says something about how, so Robin, Karen apologizes for like her actions. And Robin's like, oh, so you can apologize to the group, but you can't apologize to the person one-on-one. Mm. And here's my other thing. It's like, you have been beefing one-sided with Wendy for how long now? For what reason? And you want to call people hypocrites for like having a beef or something, but it's like, you're very hypocritical. We could be pointing the fingers to why you're so mad at Wendy to the point where you needed to like do Robin Dixon's own and record. Why, you know, like, what, that doesn't make any more sense to me. It actually makes less sense.
Exactly.
Wendy truly did not do anything to you. Truly. So yeah, Candace at this point is like, oh, that's interesting that you would call her a hypocrite, because it seems like somebody else in this group can apologize to everybody else except for the person that threw a margarita on. So we find out that Mia in Miami did a group apology in the group chat, but took Wendy off of that chat. So she apologized to everybody else about what conspired when she went off on Wendy, but not to Wendy.
Exactly.
Wild. Oh my God. So Mia says, well, I guess I'm sorry. I'm sorry to her right now. And so Wendy goes, are you sorry for assaulting somebody? And Mia goes, I didn't assault anybody. And Wendy goes, do you know the definition of assault? And Mia's goofy ass says, do you? And so Wendy, the lawyer, has to say, I do know the definition of assault. It's when you put your hands on somebody unauthorized. And I didn't tell you to put your hands on me. So then Mia goes, well, do you know what the definition of defamation is? Again, she's a lawyer. That's like
Wendy's not a lawyer.
She's
not Eddie's a lawyer. No. Oh.
Well, whatever. That's like a first week of law school.
I mean, just Law and Order. Like, just watching Law and Order for all these years, I got it.
She was a lawyer. Yeah, Eddie's the lawyer. But whatever. She knows what it means. Like, girl, come on. Come on. We all know what defamation of character is. We all know what assault means. So,
but also what part, like this, the way this conversation made me so dizzy. When Mia tried to throw it on, like, Mia was being homophobic. That's why you were so pressed about the her accusing Gordon, quote unquote, of sleeping with men.
Girl.
And then her being like, well, what's wrong with sleeping with men?
I mean, the goalpost moves all the time. So yeah, Mia now accuses Wendy of being homophobic because she said that Gordon was fucking other men, which is not what she said. So Mia's hemming and hawing about defamation of character, but Wendy's like, no, let's get into the sequence of events of when I said things before, like when you put hands on me and when I started talking cash shit about your family. So
right,
it was a before and after situation, and you put your hands on me before. So basically, Wendy's like, I hear you're going around telling everybody that I called Gordon gay, and I never once said that. So Mia says, well, you did say that he was sleeping with a man. But Wendy's like, I never called him gay. She's like, I said that y'all pick out women and men to sleep with. So how did you know that when I said y'all are sleeping with women and men, that I wasn't talking about you sleeping with men, which is very fair. She's like, you're really jumping to conclusions. So then Mia says, well, I sense some foulness. And it's 2022. Gosh. What's wrong with being gay? There's nothing wrong with being gay. You're making this a thing. I didn't call anybody gay. What are you talking about? So then we see footage from the Robin Dixon zone. And Wendy says, you guys sleep with men and women. But again, like, that was such a general blanket statement. Like, nobody thought.
It's also, she could be sleeping with the men.
Right. Like, nobody was calling Gordon gay, and nobody thinks that Wendy's a homophobe anyway. So, like, who cares? Even if you said, oh, Gordon's sleeping with men, Gordon's sleeping with Peter, doesn't make her a homophobe for simply.
And truly, like, that was my issue from the beginning of the fight with Mia, was like, you are very much telling on yourself because you have admitted to every other aspect of this, right? That, like,
right.
You've seen, like, so the only thing, like, for you to get that angry and inflamed at the mere idea that the man that you've already admitted to that you guys sleep with, like he has slept with other people in this marriage,
right.
The idea that it being a man, you lost your mind.
Right. Like, y'all have been very clear that you open it up. You guys like group sex. It wouldn't be shocking that there might be another man involved. And simply bringing that up doesn't make anybody homophobic. It just means some of y'all, one of y'all slept with the man. Doesn't really matter who. And I don't think Wendy cares. The point is, like, y'all are freaking around. So, you know, it doesn't matter who's going into anybody's hole. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Yeah, it's like crazy. So Karen gets up so she can get out of the way for them because she didn't want any of that smoke again. And really cracked me up. I think she's shared a seat with Candace. But so Mia says, well, G and Peter have been friends for a decade, which I don't know what that was supposed to do, but
right.
So then Wendy says something like, oh, well then why were you, like, you were talking about sleeping, oh, excuse me, why you can't say that they're friends because Peter told me that you guys weren't friends and he's not fucking with you because you fucked his girlfriend. And so Mia had to be like, actually, I fucked her first. So if anything, he's fucking my girlfriend. So in that order, which I'm like, well, fair. Fair about that. But do you think that Mia and Peter have slept together?
I don't know. I don't think so because I feel like again, the way that their relationship is open is in the most like misogynistic, like patriarchal way. Like, I don't feel like any of it is tailored to Mia's fun. So I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think that Mia does it because she doesn't want to sleep in the corner herself. So she's like, oh, if I can just sit here in the corner and like, right, you know, get drunk and he can do his thing, you know, that's fine with me.
Right. I see that. She's just outsourcing.
This is a great situation for me. I don't know. Yeah, she keeps changing the story. Like, it comes from like, oh, we were fucking, to, oh, he went down on her, or she went down on him. And then what I'm really confused about is that girl still with Gordon's dick on her breath, singing as Mia walks down the aisle. I'm stuck on that.
Right, like, you don't think you guys could give the little kink of a break just for like your wedding, the night before your wedding?
Can I get like 24 hours of fidelity? Or at least not have her singing at my wedding, you know?
Right, everything feels too close.
It's a little too close for comfort for me, which is why she's got all these problems with Jacqueline. Do you think that Gordon and Jacqueline have hooked up?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's again, maybe prior to him and Mia getting together, he was one of the strippers in the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
He did work at the ballroom / strip club.
Yeah.
But I just don't see Mia keeping her that close and still, I just don't see it. Mia's dumb, but she's not like that dumb.
She's not stupid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah, I mean, this is so wild to me. So Mia asked Wendy, like, oh, you know, basically like, you're not being a good friend. And Wendy's like, you got your girlfriend of 30 years here and you all just got a new fight. So you don't need to be talking to me about friendship when it seems like you don't really even know what a friend is, frankly. So
right. A point was made.
Several. So then in a confessional, Candace goes, whew, child, you can take the hoe out of strip club, but you can't take the strip club out of the hoe. No, let me not judge, because there's hoes everywhere. There's hoes at the Walmart, hoes at the bank. There's hoes with me at this table. So then Wendy says that her issue is, after having an argument with Mia, like, Mia seemed to think it was warranted to have a margarita thrown at Wendy, or a mojito, or, you know, whatever your alcoholic beverage choice was. And Mia goes, okay, well, I'm sorry for throwing a drink at you. Now what? So she's like, let's talk about the real issue. And Wendy says, no, the real issue is that you threw a drink on me. Like, that's it. You've shown your character. You've shown your character, and your character is a gutter ass bitch. Something about calling people gutter is so funny to me. And it's so rude, you know? It's so rude because it's dirty down there. It's dirty.
It's worse than calling someone trash, right? Like, because yeah. The gutter, it's the mix of trash and water, which is like ultimate disgust. Like,
straight sewage. Oh my God. Stagnant. Because the trash gets big. The trash gets big. Oh my gosh. So Mia claims that she apologized for throwing a drink. And that's because she's a real one, unlike some people. And so Wendy goes, well, I owned everything. I just wanted to be known to not ever do that again. I gave you a pass one time, all right? And so Mia goes, is that a threat? She goes, no, girl, it's not a threat, it's a promise. And I guess Candace is like, okay, well, she said that. The episode ends with Wendy yelling about, like, oh, this is what success looks like. This is what it feels like. Oh, you know, I'm a boss. She's trying to come for me. Mia's trying to come for me because she's not about my life. Like, oh God, it must suck to be you, Wendy. Mia. It must suck to be you. Oh, Lord. I mean,
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
She's not wrong, because listen, if we're just going to look, if you were handed a sheet of paper and it was like, here, you got to pick one of these people's lives. You could have Wendy's life with her 4 degrees and her husband that looks like he smells real good and he's got nice teeth and you got these really cute kids, or you can be married to Gordon. I mean, just which one would you pick?
Right. And I hate to like surmise everything that like happens with women. I hate it when people are like, they're jealous, but it does give that when it comes to Wendy in a lot of ways. And I'm just like, it's just giving jealousy.
It does. I mean, yeah, because me and Gordon have this weird relationship. They're not a partnership. Like when we saw that scene of Wendy and Eddie laughing about Deborah being like, oh, happy Eddie smiled at me. That's a marriage. That's a part.
Exactly.
Those are two people who are very strong in their relationship. Like that, I've never seen really that much like true intimacy between Gordon and Mia, like in a way that they really like each other. I don't see that.
And it's hard to like, that's even the issue that like I always felt like Ashley had with Candace,
mm-hmm.
right? Is that like, here are these two women, they're married to these white men, but Candace is attracted to Chris
and vice versa.
Chris is right. Chris is the eight, like within her age range, you know? And like Ashley has to be up there with that disgusting man who I'm sure that he has called her a couple slurs once or twice.
With Australian ones, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Like every time he used to talk about Sheila, like the, and what, it was just at the tip of his tongue.
Right. You're right. There was something about
being like, I don't want that around my children. Like,
dog, you will never. I mean, for me who has such low standards, I cannot imagine a dude telling me, I'm afraid to have kids with you because I don't want you to be like your mom. Excuse me? How the fuck do you come back from that? How do you do that?
And while we're talking, can I ask you, was Luke and her real?
I think it was. I genuinely think it was. And she was on Watch What Happens Live and said that he was fine. It was Michael that ruined the relationship between she and Luke. And Giselle actually did an interview because, you know, she went on that date with Jason. And she said that she feels like once the dust settles with Ashley and Michael, that she thinks that she and Luke will get back together.
Hmm. This is my thing with it, right? Like, because I do want to believe that it was real. And mm-hmm. I feel like when I was listening to you talk about it, I think you said that she seemed hurt. Was it
yeah.
you that said that? Mm-hmm. And I could see that. But it feels yeah. just like all that care, like who starts a new relationship and you do all that damn carrying on?
Yeah, it's
like you're making TikToks out. Like it just felt really like I don't know.
Yeah, I think she got too excited, which I mean, wouldn't you if you were running away from that milky eyed monster and into the arms of Luke? Please,
right? She's like, also been with him. Like I was rewatching season one of Potomac, and I was like, oh, Ashley was a child,
kid, and to finally like yeah, to now be free of like old man River. And with a guy who's only a few years older than you, and he's fucking hot. Like, literally isn't my type, but like, please, I'm not stupid either. I get
right.
it. But yeah, I think she just got too excited. But yeah,
just girl, being with someone whose ball sack isn't hitting his ankles.
You're right, exactly. And he's not trying to tap it against somebody else's ankles either. So so you don't believe it was real?
I don't know. Like, I feel like certain parts of it did feel real, but then I'm just like, I don't know. All the carrying on for me was just so weird. Like, all the posting, making TikToks. Like, when you're starting a relationship, I just don't see anyone actually really doing all that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I would think that Luke would be above a fake relationship, but then I'm like, I don't know. He just got fired from his show.
Right. Okay.
Which what? Then brings me into thinking that I've started to think that Carl and Lindsay are fake.
Okay, thank you. Oh, Jai, see? This is why you're my bitch. Okay, let's talk about the Summer House trailer, because I haven't spoken about this yet. It looks so good. I'm so excited.
Cannot wait.
There were a lot of dynamics. Like, they've been dropping hints about there being a situation between Danielle and Lindsay and Carl and Kyle, or at least Carl and Loverboy, right? Mm-hmm. So... what we did see is that apparently Carl had been like shirking his responsibilities, hadn't really been at work. At one point, Kyle says, you know, like, if you were gone, we wouldn't even miss your presence or something like that. And then a lot of situation between Danielle and Lindsay. What are your thoughts? What is your prediction on what went down between Danielle and Lindsay?
So... I hope it's not like the way that the trailer kind of made it seem was like it was just the issue of her being like, it's too early to get engaged, like mm-hmm. her being upset that they're getting engaged not on her time.
Yeah.
But I think like you and I spoke about this before, and I think it is just that you were saying how you feel like Lindsay was just a bad friend to her. Like, she got her man and she just like kind of checked out of the friendship with Danielle.
Yeah.
I can totally see it being that.
Yeah, it's like Lauren and Heidi all over again, you know, except for Spencer and Carl are not alike. Like, this, she got a much better situation, Hub House. But yeah, I think that like Danielle's always been a support. And I think Paige said that to her, like, those two are not good friends to you like you are to them. And you need to realize that. So yeah, I think that she was just like,
my TV randomly turned on.
It's okay. So yeah, I think that like Lindsay was just like, oh, I don't really need you, Danielle, anymore. And yeah, I also think like part of it was probably like Danielle being like, oh, this is like really rushed, and maybe there's a part of her that thinks like this is kind of performative and fake. So tell me about your thoughts about Carl and Lindsay now that you're on the right side of history, aka mine.
So, okay, watching them on Winter House, I was like, ugh. Mm-hmm. I don't see anything that has changed from like why they would, what's changed that you guys feel like you need to be together right now. I don't feel like when I heard them each talking about the relationship, nothing convinced me. Mm-hmm. For Carl, I think it is really, really scary for him that he's now sober. And like, I don't want it to be like people are thinking like, okay, like everyone attaches this, Carl is the greatest guy in the world because he's sober now. And like, or even the, I don't even think being in a fake relationship makes you a bad person, right? Or like getting married to keep your job. Like, this is their job.
Right.
And I can't imagine how scary it is for Carl to think that like, he could lose it. What does Carl do? Like, in the early seasons of this show, we saw Carl struggle with like losing job after job, mm-hmm. not knowing what he was going to do. He's been able to keep this job the longest, but he works for his friend.
Yeah.
And then the next job he's had the longest is being on this show. And I can't imagine like how he's thinking about how he's going to pay his bills. And mm-hmm. Lindsay works in PR.
Does she? Does she still do that?
No. Probably not, but we saw her, you know, getting Hub House together in that apartment. Yeah. With all those interns.
She's got a history of PR. She's got a history there. Yeah.
Right. And she knows what she's doing.
Yes.
And I can see how she could convince him to be like, listen, this is what we need to do. Maybe to a degree, I think that they do like each other and they did decide to like work, you know, maybe we should be together. But I think they're like, okay, it makes sense for the show. Let's get engaged. It'll keep us on. Like, I think that there is some strategy involved.
Yeah. I do find it very irksome with any couple, and they did this majorly when they came to Winterhouse. It's like, oh, we're so mature now that we found each other. Like, we just make spaghetti squash at night and, you know, eat low protein meals. And, you know, we're just very zen. I do think like there's something to be said. And I say this a lot about Craig and Paige. Like, I don't like them, but I get them because they both understand what it's like to be on reality TV. And it can probably be very hard to find somebody who's mm-hmm. willing to play the game like that. So, right. And I think that probably goes a long way. And so I think, you know, for Carl and Lindsay, like Lindsay had been very clear to the entire planet what she wants out of her life and when she wants it. And she wants the marriage and the babies and all that. We saw the timeline that she did with the sandwiches and all the men before that and all the men since. She's been on a mission. And I think sometimes maybe you just look over and you're like, oh, I mean, they're certainly reasonable that they would be attracted to each other. Like everything makes sense on paper, but for me, it just doesn't jump off the page.
I agree. And it's like, fine, right? Like have a child together. I'm happy for them. Like, why not have it with your friend? Like people have children with damn near strangers, right? Like why not have it with your friend? Right. That part.
So, also, have you seen the rumors that maybe allegedly there's some issue between Kyle and Amanda?
What type of issue?
Like a separation issue. Yeah. So I'm just going off of what I have seen. Like people were bringing up some very good points that they were not together over the holidays. They were both with their respective families.
Wow.
And I guess people have been checking that Amanda's not been wearing her ring recently. I mean, she did promote the traitors, but you know, that could be anything. But yeah, it seems like they haven't really seen each other too much.
That's actually really sad. And that's me saying this as like, I don't like Amanda and Kyle together.
Yeah. But I mean, if we're going to break up, do it now. Do it now before you got kids. All you guys have are those dogs now. Just call it. If we're going to call it now, you know?
Well, I thought that they would be one of those where like, I love Kyle. Love him. I'm going to stick beside him no matter what. I just figured that they would be like a 10-year marriage, right? Mm. Where they have their children together. They make sense. And then Kyle never gets married again, right? He was able to like have the children with her. Amanda's going to be a great mom. And then she could find like the real love of her life after.
I really want, we'll see. We'll just have to see. And I'm sure we'll find out pretty soon because the show's about
to. Yeah.
So if they're going to separate, they're going to do it quickly. So I don't know. My eyes are peeled.
That's interesting. Oh, yeah. There's so much going on.
I know. There's so much
going on. I didn't even know that there was like two new people coming on. One of them is a Black girl. Like totally missed that.
Oh, yeah. I've been following her for a little while because her sister is actually an influencer.
Her sister wrote Token Black Girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
This book that, yeah.
So yeah, I've had my eye on her for a little bit. I'm excited, but I mean, dog, they took like how many guys out of that house and were like, we'll just replace him with one dude. So now it's like Kyle, Carl, and this one dude that we don't know about, which like, okay, we got to get, I can't believe I'm saying this, but we got to get more men in the summer house.
Just, honestly, I agree. And it's like, not Corey.
No. No. Oh my God. Jessica's been on TikTok with her new man who, gotta say, he's like bachelor hot. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
If you watch The Bachelor, you'd be like, oh, he's one of the best looking guys on The Bachelor.
And she gives like that. She gives that. I wouldn't mind her coming back because she was so delusional.
So delusional. But, and she continues to be, because I can't remember exactly what she said, but it was something like, oh, you know, I learned some lessons about being on TV, but basically I actually didn't learn anything and fuck you guys. So,
I'm actually perfect. Thanks.
Well, Chai, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me at FlyChai on Twitter and Instagram. I think also TikTok on that too. And subscribe to my podcast. Me and my friend Antonio, every week we talk about the things that we feel like people aren't mad enough about.
Yes.
It's called Y'all Aren't Mad Enough.
Perfect. Yeah, check that out. I'll put the link of that in the episode description. Thank you so much. Say hi to Kenzie for me.
I will.
We love her. You have a great day.
Bye. Bye.